Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. You know, during this time of worry and stress, music can be a soothing force for good in our lives. It certainly is for me, and I hope for you as well. So today on Studio Tulsa, we're going to get away from the news of the day to share music with an interesting person here in town. For several years, music promoter and presenter Julie Watson hosted a radio show titled Tune In Tulsa. Each week, she would host a variety of prominent Tulsans sharing the music that was most important to them. Well, today we turn the tables on Julie and ask her what's consoling her during this time of working, living, and sheltering at home. Julie was the co-producer of the live music series, Tulsa Roots Music, for a number of years, and is now one of the executive producers of the new public radio program that's under development titled Live from Canes. It features host Robbie Folks and a house band of all-star Tulsa area musicians led by Paul Benjamin. Their first pilot aired last fall, and they were scheduled to begin production on a number of programs from the Canes later this spring. Of course, those plans are now in limbo with the COVID-19 shutdown. Julie Watson is my guest today. Julie Watson, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you, Rich.
And I have to ask you, how are you doing? Are you holding up all right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I feel like we're really fortunate compared to so many people. So just trying to appreciate my situation and understand how different other people's might be, which just makes me sad, obviously. And how about you? How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm just hanging out in this studio. That's exactly, that is my life right now. But nonetheless, the reason we had you on today is for several years, you hosted a show called Tune In Tulsa on a different radio station where you asked local folks about their favorite music and a lot of interesting, eclectic people in our city. So we thought it would be interesting to turn the tables on you and ask what you're listening to these days as we shelter in place.
That is such an interesting question, and I've been thinking about music in that broader sense, about how people use it in general in their lives or what role it plays. And I started thinking, what have I been listening to? And I noticed that it's kind of like maybe the same way a lot of people have been baking their mom's casserole recipe or baking bread. It's almost like comfort music. And for me, that's meant kind of going back to my much younger days. And I found that I've been listening to a lot of reggae, interestingly enough, which is, I know, music that I love, but it's simple beat. That rhythm hits you in a really great way in your body, yet it can have a really great message or a really lighthearted one. So it's easy to listen to, but has some depth in ways that you wouldn't maybe think of initially. But it's reassuring to me in some odd way.
Now, you didn't bring any reggae for this. You didn't give me any music like that. But that's really interesting that you're listening to reggae.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you worked on a festival, a world music festival, for a number of years. So I guess that's pretty close to your heart.
And then what I did send you is probably a pretty depressing collection of songs, which is another thing I've been listening to, which worries me a little bit as well. But kind of those bad songs, which I don't know if that's good or bad in this time, but yeah, kind of a collection of those as well.
Tell us about the first song that you put on your little playlist for us to know about. I have to admit, as a late 50-something guy, I only recognize one of these names.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what order you have my songs.
That's fine. Just pick one.
One of the first ones that I think you might be talking about is a Jason Isbell song called The Blue. And I think Jason Isbell, I feel like he's going to be looked at as one of the greatest songwriters of our time. I think about losing John Prine recently, and they write in a different vein, but I think Isbell is just an amazing writer. And he's an amazing writer of really poignant love songs. And they're love songs, but they're also sort of songs about sadness and anxiety and dealing with addiction, which here I go. I'm being very upbeat today.
Now, this particular tune, The Blue, actually, you know, I always listen to things from the perspective of being a horn musician. So I'd listen for groove and things like that. And I love the groove on this tune.
Yeah, that's so funny you brought that up. And I was talking earlier to you before we got on the air about Scott Gregory, who the two of you I know work together. And each of you has, as I said, much more sophisticated taste in music than I do. And I think you probably listen differently than I do. Like you're saying, you probably listen to the instrumentation and I listen to lyrics a lot and vocals, so it's so interesting to me, that aspect, too.
Tell us a bit about this tune, The Blue.
So it's just a very beautiful love song, but I think it's from the perspective of someone who's struggling with a lot of personal issues as well. And Jason's voice is so beautiful. Look, I speak like I know him. Mr. Insel's voice is so beautiful. The lyrics are just, they make me want to cry, but the song is just, I can listen to it time and time again. It's just gorgeous.
All right, well, let's hear a little bit of Jason Isbell's The Blue. All right, here's music here on Studio Tulsa with Julie Watson as we give you some great music tips to maybe broaden
make
your
you
music, maybe make you sad or broaden your music library. Here's music by Jason Isbell.
Really ain't no different in Michigan and Maine. If you ain't here to see this, I'll miss it just the same. Your skin is soft as water, same temperature as me. I never know I touched you if you didn't let me see. Just stay there. Finally have one thing I couldn't bear to lose.
That's music by Jason Isbell of The Blue. As my guest today is Julie Watson, a local music impresario, the co-executive producer of Live from Canes, which is a new public radio show, which is in development. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But she brought in some tunes just to share some music with all of us as we are doing that sort of thing in this day where we're trying to help one another out. So what's next on your list here?
I'm afraid I'm going to be wallowing in this a little bit. I apologize.
That's all right.
Another one I put on my list was a band called Frightened Rabbit, a Scottish band, and sadly enough, their lead singer ended up killing himself, and this has been a while back, which is horribly tragic.
No, the band is dead now, right? I mean,
yeah,
as far as is defunct, I should say. That's probably
I think that's
word.
True, right. And this particular song is called Good Arms Versus Bad Arms. And again, here I go again. It's another sort of maybe very sad love song, but it has kind of a twist at the end where the person that is the aggrieved person kind of gets some vengeance, which is a little bit, depending on your interpretation, a little bit harsh, but the song is very catchy. He has another beautifully emotional voice. Kind of gravitate to these singers. I'm starting to think this is maybe more introspective than I meant to get. But it's a gorgeous song. It's a very sad song, and even maybe made sadder in light of what this musician, how he ended up passing away. So,
how did you first heard about Frightened Rabbit? Because I don't think I've never heard of this band.
Right, and I have to give my former co-partner on Tulsa Roots Music, Mike Koster, was a big fan of this band, and we were really lucky to catch this band on tour, and we brought them to Tulsa. And then they kind of took off after that. We never really, with our budget, would have been able to afford them after. So it was a really amazing opportunity. They were great performers. And then really pretty shortly thereafter was, I think it's Scott Hutchins, I think is the name of the member, passed away and under very sad circumstances too. So really got that through Mike, who has really interesting musical taste. And it was really great to present the band. That was an amazing opportunity for us.
What should we listen for on this particular cut?
The lyrics are really sad. They're kind of, to me, about a broken relationship. And it sounds like maybe the girlfriend or the other partner strayed perhaps or found a new guy. And then does take a little vengeful twist in the end. Perhaps only in the singer's head, but he kind of still loves her, but he's angry, but he still loves her. And it's got a very just mournful sound to the music and to his voice.
It does. He has a really cool voice, yeah. Here's Good Arms Versus Bad Arms by Frightened Rabbit.
Good arms versus bad arms are when hands down, down. They are built to hold on fit. Look how far they go round. You don't need these now that you've found another pair. And the difference is astounding. I should accept. Rest at arm's length in your knees.
That's music by Frightened Rabbit, Good Arms versus Bad Arms, as we turn the table on Julie Watson, who used to host a show called Tune In Tulsa, where she asked local Tulsans about their favorite music, and she's sharing what appears to be a rather moribund playlist. Actually, all these tunes have really great grooves. It's just if you listen to the lyrics closely, they're kind of sad songs.
I think I'm getting more and more concerned about myself. I think I need to turn it a little more upbeat.
Yep. Now, from your days doing the show, you had an eclectic range of Tulsans describing their favorite music. Be Jim Halsey one week, G.T. Bynum the next. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Who surprised you most with their playlist?
I loved every single one of those. It was such really a privilege for me to be able to do those interviews and listen to people's lists. No one sticks out more than any others because I learned so much. One of the ones that just thrilled me, well, you mentioned Jim Halsey and his wife, Manisa. They are amazing people. Also got to interview Billy Parker, who I had heard about, a big chunk of my life. And Billy Parker is just like living country music history and charming, great stories. He was a real pleasure. Have you had the opportunity to meet him, Rich?
I have. Billy is a pretty regular guest on John Woolley's show on Swing on This over the past few years. We haven't seen him in a while, but he's a great gentleman. Now, anybody surprise you? Do you hear a Billy Parker who says, you would expect to hear country music or Western swing. Did they surprise you with anything that was sort of off in left field?
One of our first guests was Danny O'Connor, who people know, obviously, from, most recently from The Outsider's House, right? But his career was as a hip-hop sort of rapping artist, and his list was really very interesting, more new wave, more just a lot of songs that I think people wouldn't have expected of him, and the meaning that all that music had to him growing up, and that was really interesting. And hearing him tell the story about what drew him to Tulsa and coming back to create The Outsider's House was fascinating for me. I had no idea. All I knew was Jump Around, the song. So it was very cool to hear his story and how much he appreciates Tulsa, and we're thankful for his being here, too.
Yeah, when you talk to these folks, most of the time, was it that music of their youth, the sort of that music that sort of helped formulate who they were as people, or was it, here's the latest music I've heard and I'm really listening to a lot of it now?
For a lot of them, it was that exact idea. What formed your taste as a kid? What formed you? And that was so interesting for sure. We also got to have on Neil Casal, and I feel like I'm just giving you the most depressing show, but Neil was a guitarist, a nationally touring musician, or he was, which makes me sad to say that. And we lost him recently too. He was a huge fan of the Tulsa music scene, good friends with Jesse Acock and a lot of the guys here, and actually played on one of Tulsa musician Jesse Acock's albums. And Neil, big loss to the music community in general and to a lot of people in town. Neil's playlist, he couldn't stop talking about the Tulsa scene. It was hard to get him to talk about himself, and he's had this amazing career. With the Chris Robinson Brotherhood and his own music. And all he could do was stick to talking about how much he loved the Tulsa musicians and played a lot of their songs on his list. That was really neat.
Now, speaking of the Tulsa musicians, I know you're very hipped into the scene right now. How are Tulsa musicians coping with the fact that, virtually everything is shut down?
Yeah, that has been a very interesting thing. I think you may have seen the Mercury Lounge, one of the local venues, did a really great job of doing a lot of live streaming up until the most recent orders kind of put the stop to that. And that's been a fascinating change in the industry, actually, and I think one that may continue is this ability to live stream or for tips or for even ticketed events. And I think that's transformative. That's helped people a lot. That's been great. And Horton Records, of course, has support for local artists as well. Red Dirt Relief has been doing a lot of really neat things that way. And so many of these artists have just been picking up their phones and doing a face stream live with a virtual tip jar. And it's amazing how creative people are and just how talented people are.
Of course, the Red Dirt Relief Fund is going to be doing their annual Bob Childers Gypsy Cafe, which has always been a big live event. Now it's going to be a virtual event this year on like Amazon Prime and Apple TV and Roku and a variety of apps and the like, again, to raise money for the relief fund. That's kind of an interesting. Do you think that's going to last past this time of shelter in place, that you're going to see a lot more democracy in live streaming events and virtual events as opposed to in-person events?
I think it's definitely got a play in this, and I think it's going to be interesting to see the evolution of the quality of it, because still, no matter how great your phone is right now, for the most part, it's really great to see and watch and listen, but the quality's not maybe quite there. I think a lot of people are experimenting with that as well. I do think it's definitely something. I don't know what it will become, but I do think it's part of what's happening. We're really fortunate to work with a great entertainment lawyer out of Austin, Texas, on Live from Cannes. And he's been really looking into this because he does think it's this industry sort of change, this sea change that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. It's definitely, you made a good point about the democratic aspect of it. What do you think? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because I've only been seeing one aspect of music, and I know you know a lot about classical music. And are you seeing it across the board?
Well, you know, I think this may be an interesting time for the traditional arts, because generally the contracts with the unions in America did not lend itself to live streaming events and things being available on the web in perpetuity like you would see in Europe. I mean, it's very easy. If you go look for a live classical music performance, 99% of the time it's going to be a European orchestra, just because of the different laws. And I think you're starting to see some changes. Tulsa Ballet did a live virtual stream, one time sort of set your alarm clock, be here at this time to watch this stream of Tchaikovsky, the man behind the music. I think you're going to start seeing more orchestras do that. But again, it will be, again, this big sea change, because all of the rights agreements, the copyright agreements, the union agreements have always been not in that frame of mind. But I think this could be a transformative event. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think it's pushing so many changes, including the law, to catch up to the way people consume music. I hate to use that verb, but it really is what we're looking at. That is so interesting to me, Rich, to think about the difference between the laws. But I've loved seeing the resilience of the art community in general. You mentioned dance and some of these other things. Music is usually on my mind, but I love the resiliency of it, the creativity of it, the way people are coming up with ways to deal with this is really inspiring in a pretty dark time.
My guest today is Julie Watson, who may be interviewing me as much as I'm interviewing her today. She's a local music impresario and the co-executive producer of Live from Cannes. Let's hear another tune from your playlist. Here's a group that comes out of Joplin, the Ben Miller Band. What's special about the Ben Miller Band?
I love this band because to see them, they're very visual too, and just physically the way they look. And when we saw them, they were a little bit different lineup. We had them again. We're fortunate to have them with Tulsa Roots Music. And their sound, they play like a string bass, but like an Ozarky home version of it. And just really minimalistic in their sound in some ways, but creative, lots of energy, kind of a neat punky aspect to old-timey sound, really. And this particular song is called Outsider, and it's less depressing than some of the other ones on my list. But it has kind of a good energy, I think, if you like to run to something or exercise to something. This is kind of a powerful song, I think.
All right, well, here is the Ben Miller Band, Outsider, from Julie Watson's playlist of what she's listening to these days. That's music by Ben Miller, the Ben Miller Band from Joplin. The name of the tune was Outsider. My guest today is Julie Watson, local music impresario and the co-executive producer of Live from Cannes. You know, you were talking about how that you have all these sad songs. I have to tell you, what I've been listening to that's really weird and strange is you know, everybody I'm sure has had trouble sleeping at night, you know, especially the first week or two. It's like you're just waking up all night long, you know, just worried about what was happening when things were first starting to close up and everybody was getting used to this shelter in place. And I found myself turning to the Brahms Requiem, which sounds morbid, but, you know, it is such a peaceful, beautiful, peaceful piece of music. It was really, it brought me some relief, you know, when I was really kind of freaking out, you know, that middle of the night freak out. It is some of the most beautiful music. So the moribund can actually be quite, you know, sort of soul satisfying in a way, I think.
I think there must be some psychology behind that. I'm going to have to look. Did that particular work just come to you, or were you?
No, I mean, it is a beautiful piece of music. It is just beautiful. It's, I don't speak German that well. Hardly at all. I know very few words in German. So the music itself is very relaxing and peaceful. And then actually the verses that in German, if you actually know the verses, they're all about, you know, repose and, you know, come to the end of your rest. And if you just put that aside, it's just beautiful music. So, but back to your music though. And the last one you have is by a band called Drag the River, which again, sounds kind of moribund.
Yes, and the song's name is Hang Dog, so that's not any better, really, is it? I hope people will go out and turn on something upbeat if they're listening to this after we're done. This band is out of Colorado, and they have been around for a long time and then were on hiatus for a long time, and I actually think they're touring again. And interestingly enough, I heard this band when I went out to see the Gourds, who are a defunct band now as well, out of Austin. The Gourds used to be regulars here, and Kevin Russell, that one of their lead singers, has a band called Shiny Ribs now, which is really great. But they chose to play this song in their break music between their sets. And I heard this song and I was like, I love this. So we went up to the soundboard and asked the sound guy, what is this? And it was Kevin Russell's or the Pick the Gourds had put on there by this band, Drag the River, I'd never heard of. And since I've become a pretty big fan of. And again, this is a really simple song, but it has a lot of rhythm, a lot of beat, which I tend to love. Simple lyrics. Again, I think it's about probably sad things, but hopefully people will like the song.
That's right. It has a good beat. You can dance to it. It gets a 98. Here's Drag the River with Hang Dog. Music by Drag the River, one of the choices of Julie Watson, our guest today on Studio Tulsa, as we talk about some great music to listen to and just sharing a playlist and sharing with our audience today the music she's been listening to these days of shelter in place. Now, you have been very much involved in getting a new public radio show up in development. It's called Live from Canes. We had our first pilot in May, and of course, we broadcast right around Thanksgiving time. And that was the first pilot. And the plan was to do a whole bunch of shows this year to really begin piloting and developing this public radio program. Where is that standing with the fact that we're all sheltered in place?
Yeah, as you know, and I'm sure you're aware of in your business, so many concerts have been canceled and venues are closed. And we actually had a show that we hadn't announced yet with William Bell, who is a great R&B artist and wrote Born Under a Bad Sign. Amazing guy, but he's in his 80s. And our show was scheduled for May 28th with him at the Canes. And obviously, he is not interested in traveling even at the end of May. So that's one that we put off. We still have one with Paul Thorne scheduled and tickets on sale for mid-June that we're hoping is going to happen. But obviously, things have gone completely crazy with everything. We have several fall dates we haven't announced that we believe will still go forward. We've been really fortunate. We've got a wonderful grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And if anyone out there, I know, Rich, you probably worked on these. With grants, there's usually a time frame and a reporting frame, which my co-producer, Kelly Burley, has been wonderful about that whole end of it. He has been working with them because all of these things in arts and humanities and everything else have come under this crazy time. So we've been real fortunate to work with them, and they're going to let us stretch our time out a little more. For now, we're just going to wait and see when we can start the live performances, and we're trying to think about other ways to bring music to people, to collaborate with other nonprofits here in town. We're still on track. It's just been put off a little bit, and we're looking more towards the fall and early spring right now to record a few more.
Now, is Robbie Folks still your host? Has there been any changes since the first show? And what did you learn from the first show? And what's going to keep going the same? And what might change over the time?
We learned a lot from the first show, and we were so appreciative of the audience that came there to learn with us or watch us learn. We really had a general idea of what we wanted to do, and we really felt like we needed to get out and just do it once to understand what it would take. And we were so happy with the result, but obviously want to refine all these things. Robbie Folks, who is a great musician out of L.A. now, is our host and going to continue to be our host. Paul Benjamin is our house band director, and we had an unbelievable house band, and we're so excited about them. And they're going to be returning a mix of them, hopefully, every time. And we had Bonnie Bishop as our first guest, and she was great. And we're trying to get a real mix of musical guests going forward and excited about those possibilities. I think the format will generally be the same. We're just going to tweak it, mix of conversation and music, probably more music. So, yeah, headed in that same general direction and looking for feedback for people that have seen the show and listened to it. We'd love their feedback, good and bad.
All right. Well, so looks like you're hopefully, if things open up in June, you'll have your first show then more shows in the fall. And again, I assume every time you do it, it'll be about refining the process as you plan to go into full production.
Yeah, it's definitely a work in progress and an organic. The audience is as much a part of the energy and what we get during that live piece. It's an amazing opportunity for all of us and so fun. We've had so much fun and so fortunate to have this great group of people working with us, including this great lawyer out of Austin. And we've been connected to a great consultant by Corporation for Public Broadcasting and just meeting some amazing people that have helped us along the way.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to the results on that. In the meantime, stay safe. And thanks for sharing music with us today, Julie.
Thank you, Rich. That was so much fun. I hope I didn't depress anyone.
Thanks for joining us.
See you soon.
Julie Watson speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. She's one of the executive producers of the new public radio program that's under development in Tulsa, Live from Keynes. The program was scheduled to begin production and tapings this spring, but of course those plans are on hiatus. We'll let you know when actual programs are scheduled at the Keynes. If you like the idea of today's program, let us know. We'll do it again with another Tulsan. Just drop us a note at prtanswers@gmail.com. And that is Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening, and stay safe.